Welcome to Baderson. We make up stories, improvised and recorded live. We start each story by choosing a random phrase from a source of text. My name is Mike, and my source is Watership Down by Richard Adams.
My name is Ben, and my source is The Feynman Lectures on Physics by Richard Feynman.
My name is Drew, and my source is Why Does He Do That? Inside the Minds of Angry and Controlling Men by Lundy Bancroft.
Okay, we are going to choose, Drew's going to choose one of us to pick something out of a source. Who's that going to be, Drew?
Drew, it's me.
Why does he do that?
Why does he do that? Inside the Minds of Angry and Controlling Men by Lundy Bancroft. So I'm flipping through here. Choosing something at random. Just flipping through the
mostly
old...
Mostly pictures in there, or what?
He dressed sloppily, barely combed his hair, and rarely shaved. He dressed sloppily, barely combed his hair, and rarely shaved.
Vanessa had dumped her boyfriend exactly a week ago. The most obvious reason was that it wasn't because he didn't take care of himself. It's because of what that indicated, you know. She wasn't embarrassed to be around a guy with long hair who wore the same clothes day after day. She didn't respect a guy who didn't respect himself.
And the breakup was complicated by the fact that they were both working on a cruise ship at the time. And Vanessa was staying in a room with Alina. And Russell was directly across the hallway, and
he was allowed to be all disheveled because his dad, Captain Blammo, owned the cruise ship.
And Russell worked at the bar, and so he felt like his disheveled nature kind of lent itself to the people who would hang out at the bar. This is the bar right above the casino, and he liked his beatnik kind of style and persona.
And this is an argument that Vanessa and Russell had all the time. Russell saying, no, my lack of hygiene and my disheveled appearance makes me look cool in a disaffected way. And Vanessa said, no, it just makes you look bad. It doesn't, there's nothing cool about it. It's not you're not a stylized magazine version of some movie icon. You're just a gross looking guy.
And Russell would say, but wouldn't you rather be served a drink from a gross looking guy because you can look at me and feel like I look better than that? And she would say, no, I'm here on a cruise enjoying a night out with my spouse or whatever. And I want to feel like I'm someplace really fancy that's bringing their A game.
And he'd say, but wouldn't you feel like if you saw a guy like me, you got a drink from a guy like me, you'd think
someone
like,
who knows how to drink.
You'd think like it's okay, I can have another drink. That guy's clearly had too many. And I can tell that guy my problems. That guy clearly has problems.
And she said, no, when you're at a bar, the last thing you want to think about is the potential downsides to overindulgence in alcohol. You want to feel like what you're doing is fine and comfortable and a part of something sanitary and clean and life-giving, not something that's
they would have
you
literally that same argument over and over, like word for word.
The person who probably benefited most from this breakup was Alina, who was incredibly relieved not to have to hear the argument again, or so she thought.
But Vanessa,
Vanessa would say
since the breakup,
she'd be like, could you remember? He would say stuff like, would you?
And she'd be like, I'm so glad that, I don't have to
say anymore that no, I wouldn't rather get a drink from a guy that looks like this.
So Alina put in a request to Captain Blammo to move to the empty staff room, the one empty staff room that had just become vacant because one of the cooks got COVID and Blammo sent him, just put him, just kicked him out at port and didn't tell anyone that he had COVID. So there was an empty room.
And Blammo, Alina, Blammo has a zero tolerance policy for people being sick, for people not wearing their uniforms properly, for people not being clean shaven, for not being well kept. He runs a literal tight ship. Everything is buttoned up and hyper clean and super perfect and pristine, which is part of what makes the Russell situation, as all of the other employees refer to it, so galling.
Because, and yet, about a week after Vanessa or Alina's request was granted and Vanessa was on her own, she started feeling pretty lonely. She really missed Russell.
Or and somebody. She missed Alina. She missed Russell. And she missed all the people that she worked with. Where did Vanessa work?
She was on the ship. On the cruise ship. Where does she work?
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
At the
Tell us.
At the towelette.
Which is
where you went to get towels.
She's a towel dispenser.
Yeah. Well, she folds them into shell shapes, mm-hmm, and puts them on your bed when you're out. Mm-hmm. And she washes them. She keeps track. She's the towelette manager, and she's also stationed at the pool.
And it was supposed to be, she used to interact, she basically would hand towels directly to people all the time, so she would have a lot of one-on-one contact with them. She got promoted to managing the towel handers, and then also folding and putting the shell-shaped towels on people's bunks when they were out. So all of a sudden, she went from having tons and tons of direct contact with the people on the cruise to not really interacting with anybody. At the same time that she broke up with Russell and Alina moved out.
And it's like, she's the manager. It's not a particularly hard job or a well-paid job. She's very smart. She could do much better. So she's lonely and living in her quarters, and day after day, her room gets a little messier. She stops making her bed. She stops putting her clothes in the hamper. 2 days in a row, she wears the same uniform just because she sleeps in a little bit late and just puts on the one she finds on the floor.
And she bumps into Russell just occasionally because they live across the hall from each other. And so she sees him every few days. They cross paths or whatever. And over this period of time, she also notices that something just changed with Russell. And he's actually, his shirt's buttoned up a little bit more. His hair's a little less greasy. It's a little cleaner. Progressively over these few weeks where her condition is going into decline,
he's getting spiffier.
Yeah. And you know, they're on okay terms. It wasn't like an awful breakup or anything. So she's, you know, regularly checking in with him and saying, you know, how's things, how's it going or whatever. And he seems sort of weirdly evasive, like, yeah, no, fine, everything's good. And she's just sort of like, you sure? Like anything, something going on, anything happening? And he's like, no, nothing. Everything's good. All good. Yeah. Okay. I got to run. And he would just sort of be evasive and excuse himself.
And eventually she got so sloppy and so disheveled that it caught the attention. On this one kind of unfortunate day, Captain Blammo came down to the towel folding station and the usual person wasn't there. They had gone to like fix some passenger's towel, and Captain Blammo came right into the manager's office, and she was wearing her uniform for the third day in a row.
Stained with mustard, hair just hadn't touched it.
For a while. And Blammo, as is normal, he walks up to her and he knows there's hundreds of people who work on the boat, and Captain Blammo knows every single one of them by name. And he says, And at this point, they were pulling up to a port in Aruba. Oh. And Blammo just says, Vanessa, let's go.
This is your stop.
You're out. Let's go. And it's typical. You don't have a chance. It's part of the contract. You don't get to stop by your bunk. Nothing. You just walk straight to the deck. And she knows there's no compromise. She's just like, oh my God, what have I been doing? But she can't, she starts to say something, but she knows it's hopeless. So she just gets up, follows Blammo to the deck. On her way out, they sort of walk down along. It's a big cruise ship. They walk along the deck and she walks past the locker room, which is only open afternoon and it's in the morning. And she looks in the window as she's walking past, and inside she sees Russell, impeccably dressed, clean shaven, looks amazing, making out with Alina. And she's just like, oh, okay. That's what was going on. And she just can't effing believe it. She can't believe after everything that her trying to get Russell to clean up, Alina acting like she was so put out about this whole thing. And now this is what happens. She just can't believe it.
And so she lets out this scream, like this just scream of rage and frustration. And Captain Blammo turns. And when Captain Blammo makes a turn, he turns at 90 degrees. So at this point, he turns twice 90 degrees, his shiny shoes clicking together on the boat deck. And he looks at her with horrified eyes and he says, what is it?
And she says, your son is gonna pay. And then she marches herself off the boat, goes to Aruba, goes to a bar where there's a really nasty looking guy serving drinks. And she says, yes. Nuh-uh. She does. And then she goes all up and down the beach, and all the bars are being served by really disheveled people, men, women. And she goes back to the first bar. No. Okay.
She goes back and she's just kind of like, okay, Russell's kind of got a point on this one. She can, for the first time ever, she can see it from his point of view that there is something sort of reassuring about contrasting herself with this messed up barkeeper.
Meanwhile, back on the boat, the bar on the ship, they're not making money at all anymore. No one's going there. They're spending all their money at the casino, which is lucrative for Captain Blammo because the casino makes a lot of money, but they've got all this booze and it looks bad to have an empty bar. And so Blammo pulls his son aside and says, we got to get more people in here, you know? And that's up to you. You're promoted to manager of the bar. This is your time, kid. Make it happen. And he taps his shoes together and marches off to go make some other staff member's life hell.
In Aruba, after a couple days of just blackout drinking, Vanessa wakes up on the beach, splashes some seawater in her face, and pulls herself together and thinks, okay, I need to get home, first of all. But second of all, I wasn't lying when I said that to Captain Blammo. Russell is going to pay for this.
And then she said, actually, I'm going to switch the order of that. First of all, I'm going to make him pay, and then I'm going to go home.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever order needs to happen. And she knows that the boat's going all the way to Jamaica. And then it comes back through Aruba in a few days. And so she starts hatching a plan to get back on the boat when it passes back this
way. She's made friends with a lot of the bartenders on the beach. And they are a very resourceful and fun group of guys and gals.
And gals.
And so she's going to their parties at night. They'll have this campfire after all the bars close down, and they'll kind of sing songs together. Usually guitar comes out, and they're always talking about these, you know, stories about Aruba back in the day and kind of all the like pranks they used to play on the cruise ships before the security got too tight.
And they actually get her to taper off and quit drinking because, and they talk her through it. They have songs about it. Their whole group is sober and they've all been there.
And they actually their lives are all together. Their houses are impeccable. They're really clean. And outside of work, they're very buttoned up and very orderly. It's a whole affected thing that they do because they know what Russell knew, basically. Uh-huh. That a nasty bartender, people want a nasty bartender. Yeah.
And once she gets cleaned up a little bit, she gets her life together and stops drinking. They start letting her pick up some shifts here and there, you know, and she starts to make a little money and, you know,
because she's got like 2 days.
It's a lot of shift turnover though. They're so busy. They're turning over shifts every couple of hours.
Multiple shifts, spread across all the bars. She's just running up and down the beach and, big transformation for her, rock bottom and then right back up there in Aruba.
That's why they call it. They call it the land of miracles, and that this is part of why. This is what people experience when they go there.
She wrote a bunch of postcards to her friends saying like about how she was just giving up on everything, and she was able to get the post boat to chase it down and not send him because the story had changed by then.
Yeah, one of the bartenders, Vanessa, found out had a speedboat that they used to run illicit substances with, and so they got in that speedboat. They chased down the mailboat. They grabbed the letters,
and that actually gave her an idea because when the cruise ship was coming back, one of the things they do is they take on mail. So with all the money that she made picking up all these shifts at the bar, she bribes the local postal carrier
you will get a big tips if you look nasty.
And nobody looked as nasty as she did those first couple days.
And even after she cleaned up, she knew that she could put the nasty on. She had to. They basically required that she put the nasty on to do the shifts. And she honestly was better than most of them. So she was, she cleaned up. And it's a good thing because she used most of that money to bribe the local postal delivery person to put her in a big sack of mail so that when the cruise ship came back, they would take her on board in the sack of mail and she could sneak back onto the ship.
And that's just what happened. And she got thrown into the mail box, which wasn't a mailbox that we have in our neighborhoods. You know, it was a whole room, and waited to hear the door latch close. And she worked her way out of the bag. And then she worked her way out of the room and she crept along. And tried all the staff doors and found one that was unlocked, put on somebody else's uniform, made herself look real tidy and tip top.
And she sneaks her way back to the bar and she walks in and she's in disguise and she's all made up and stuff like that. So she gets in there with nobody detecting her. Russell's in the bar and there's nobody else there. It's still totally dead. And she reveals herself to him and he's like, "Oh my God, what are you doing? I thought my dad kicked you off in Aruba." And she explains that he did and that's fine. But listen, she says, "Russell, look, you were right. I was wrong. Okay. I've seen the error of my ways, and the bar looks incredible. It's like spotless. He just looks amazing. He looks like he's straight out of a frickin' magazine photo shoot." And she just says, "You were right all along. People want a nasty bartender. And I'm sorry. And if you like, we can turn this thing around. We can be nasty and this place will thrive." And he's like, "Oh my God. That would be amazing. My dad is getting so fed up. We're losing so much money. That would be great. But, I can't.
Elena really likes him this way.
Yeah, he's like, oh, there's something you don't know. Like,
and she just puts her fingers up on it, puts her fingers up on his lips and just says, shh, shh, I know. Just leave this to me. And so she gets all she gets super nastied up and he lets her bartend. And that night, the place just blows up that night. It is the place to be on the ship. The bar is packed. She is in her nastiest. She is just covered in filth and her hair's all stringy and her clothes are dirty and torn. And the place is thrumming.
And the reason this place is so important to Captain Blammo is it's above the casino. It's in like a little tower with an elevator that goes up and he can see it from the deck of the ship, from the bridge. And so that's how he kind of keeps an eye on the like lifeblood of the casino.
And he can see that that's not his son behind the bar. He's excited about the crowd and he's wondering, oh, how did my boy do it? And he's trying to get a look at his boy. And then he gets these glances of the bartender. And it takes five glances before he gets a good look and he sees that's not Russell at all. And he doesn't recognize Vanessa, but he knows something's wrong. So he marches down there. And he doesn't want to spoil the party. So he kindly says hi to the patrons and does something, you know, he sort of dances his way like he's part of the thing and gets his way to the bar. And when he gets up there, Vanessa is in the zone going from customer to customer. She just, before she even sees who it is, she's like, what can I get you, buddy? And they make eye contact and they see, they recognize each other. And Blammo can't help himself. She is so nasty that he has to order a drink.
He orders a drink and he says, I double whiskey. And she says, hard day. And he says, yeah, hard day. Before he can even help himself.
He's under a spell. Half of his brain is like, I should be kicking her off the boat again or worse. But the bigger half is saying, I want a double whiskey because of my hard day.
And she gets Captain Blammo hammered.
Blammoed.
And she takes him. She takes him back to her bunk, her old bunk, which has not been filled yet. It's still empty. And takes all kinds of compromising photographs of him. Blackmail, all this blackmail style photographs. She nasties him up. She's creates this whole portfolio of blackmail photos.
Of him, none of them are sexual, I just wanted to say.
No, they're not sexual at all. It's mostly about him being disreputable and messy and violating. There's all very strict code of conduct on the boat, and she sets up all these photos where he's violating. She puts a lit cigarette in his hand, and she has him...
She unties his tie and then challenges him to like do a double Windsor. And he's like, thinks he's doing it.
He's not passed out. He's groggy. And so he's like trying to tie his tie. And
she persuades him that the window is the toilet and he's urinating out the window and she's taking pictures of it. There's just a whole, it's everything you can imagine.
She got him with a nautical map and she wrote, who cares? In really big letters. And got him to point and laugh at it.
and then she takes him up to the deck and they Titanic, which is like strictly verboten, where he stands behind her, she stands behind him and he puts his arm out and
it will ruin him. Mm-hmm. It's quite a collection. And she, she has saved the bar, but she hasn't yet got her revenge on Russell and Alina. And so she has all of this footage of Blammo, and she sends it to her dad, who's a reporter for Cruise Nation.
He hooked her up with the job.
Cruise Nation, the most, the only, some would say,
weekly, weekly
trend setting,
yeah,
agenda setting, who's who of the cruise industry. And he's like, this is gold, baby. Thanks so much.
And
her dad's real sleazy.
Yeah, he's, I mean, the cruise ship world is full of sleazeballs.
It's cutthroat. So she says, Dad, listen, I want you to have this because I might need to hit go on this at a moment's notice, but I don't want you to publish anything unless I say so. I need you to promise me that you're not going to publish anything unless I say that I want to move forward with this. Okay. And he's like, yeah, no problem.
You got it, baby. Don't worry.
Me, you don't have to worry about me. I wouldn't do anything.
Keep a tight grip on it. I keep a lid on it. Just give me the go ahead.
She says, Dad, when I come home, you're going to stop drinking and I'm going to show you how to get your life together.
You can still look like crap, but you'll. He's like, all right.
And she slips a note under Alina's door that says, hey, meet me in the bar, Russell. And then she slips a note under Russell's door that says, hey, meet me in the bar, Alina. And
we'll check in on the spelling of those names later.
She goes to the bar and she gets really cleaned up. She cleans back up, goes to the bar.
She cleans up immaculately. She polishes her shoes so that they are even more reflective than Captain Blammo's shoes.
She looks like Cinderella at the ball.
And eventually Russell and Alina show up at about the same time. And Russell hasn't told her that he's seen Vanessa and that she's back. And so she's shocked. And Russell's surprised. And Vanessa says, Alina starts to talk, and Vanessa says, you shut up, points at her, and Alina shuts up. And she says, okay, here's the deal.
And there's patrons there, right?
No, the bar's closed. It's closed. Yeah, sorry. It's the morning after. Blammo is still sleeping it off. And people are wondering where he is because he's normally on the bridge at 4:45 a.m. every morning. But she says, Russell, I don't want to get back with you because I don't think you're a good person. And I don't think we have similar values. I don't think we have a shared vision for our future. And I don't trust you. And Alina, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. So Russell, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy your dad's reputation and put him in, I'm going to ruin him. And
this whole business,
unless You
tell Alina she's a dog-faced hoe right now.
Because
and
I
mean
just,
it.
Because I just want to hurt both of you. I don't really need any particular outcome. I just want you to hurt each other. I just want you both to feel
you guys,
hurt.
You guys hurt me a lot, not because that you were together, but because of the duplicity, you know?
I just hate it. It makes me angry to see people do bad stuff. It just makes me feel bad, even if I'm not really directly affected.
And now you're making me feel bad again because I feel so petty for doing this. But
I'm going to see it through.
I'm going to see it through because I promised revenge.
And I couldn't. I can't. And so I want you to do that, Russell. And I want you to say that to Alina, and I want you to mean it. And if you don't mean it, then I'm going to ruin your family's business.
And Russell, all his faults aside, he finds a very clever loophole. He thinks dogs are beautiful, and he has no problem with sex work at all. He's never partaken, but he understands that that's a life that some people he doesn't want to get into.
He doesn't think of it as inherently a pejorative, and he doesn't like it when either of those things are used to be derogatory.
And he gets down on one knee, and he puts his hands out like a bowl, and Alina puts her hands in his, and he says in the most heartfelt, loving voice that he's ever produced, Alina, you are a dog-faced hoe.
And she just melts, and they hug.
And he produces a ring that he didn't even know he had in his pocket, but it's like the angels are there with them.
And she says, of course, of course. And they hug and embrace. And Vanessa is enraged, and she just goes straight to the phone, and she picks it up and calls her dad, and she says, go. And he says, two steps ahead of you, baby. It's already coming out tomorrow. And she says, oh, dad, you rascal. And he says, I told you, baby, never trust anyone in the cruise business.
All right, I'm going to open these Coronas. You coming over to save my life or what?
She says, I think we should be home in about 24 hours, Dad, if this ship stays afloat.
So the hammer falls. Blammo is kablammoed out of the business. He loses the boat. No one, all his friends were other boat captains, and now he's got zero friends. But he... Despite all the pain and shame and the confusion about how all this stuff was exposed that he has no memory of doing, that's so unlike him, you know, he's dealing with a lot of hurt, but he and his wife spend more quality time together than they ever have. And so there's kind of a silver lining there. They golf a lot together, and they watch movies together, and they talk about them afterward.
And Russell and Alina do get married, and they have a good laugh every time they tell the engagement story. They just have a good chuckle with all their friends. They have a beautiful wedding, and they settle down in Miami, and things end up going really great. And
Vanessa feels pretty listless after the initial kind of endorphin rush and high of like bringing down Captain Blammo, and she kind of wanders aimlessly for about a year in life.
After cleaning her dad's life up, she gets her dad back on track, and he starts a new career. He's never written a novel. He wanted to write a novel. It's pretty successful, so he gets a multi-book deal, and so he's back on his feet, quits drinking.
But she's on this downward trajectory, and about a year and a half later, she finds herself at this country club in this bar on her break, and she just wanders in and feeling like she doesn't belong because she's pretty poorly dressed and, you know, is only part of the country club because of her dad. But she notices the bartender, this older guy, is even more disheveled than she is. So she sidles up to the bar and she orders a double whiskey. The bartender turns around and says, tough day. He says, Yeah, it has been, Blammo. Tough year.
The end.
Baderson stories are improvised and recorded live over the internet. We clean up the audio, but we don't edit, rehearse, or redo any content, for better or worse. Subscribe and find other stuff we do at Baderson.com. And remember, telling stories is the best way to get nasty.